Mike.
Yeah.
Wake up.
I'm up. I'm up.
I know it's early morning. I know that we've had to get up at the crack of dawn. Dawn was very upset about that. But he's woken up again.
What, Dawn?
Get your coffee. It's early morning. We've got to do a pubcast. We can explain that in a minute.
I can't. I need my coffee.
Okay, have another one. Here.
Drums in, let's have a party. Pump up the bitter. Shh, testing. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Yes, we're pumping up the bitter, Mike. We're here, we're back.
I don't want to pump up anything but caffeine.
Hey, hang on a minute. Keep the noise down back there, will you? Thank you very much.
Oh, God, they're loud.
A bit noisy today, aren't they? We are back after our Thanksgiving. We hope everybody enjoyed the two quick fire shows that we put in. And yes, indeed, as we mentioned in our introduction, what is the time on your clock? Oh, you don't have a watch.
I don't have a watch, but it's bloody early.
Yeah. We have, in fact, got no beer here today. This is the pub with no beer, although that's only temporary because we do have some standards here. We don't like to drink our beer primarily before noon.
No.
But why are we up so early, Michael?
Oh, let me focus. Okay. actually, we had a extremely great interview.
Should we tell them who it's with, or should we tease them?
I think we should tell them.
Okay.
Because it's not till next show.
That's true.
And we want them to go out and get some research, go to their website, because we had Chaz of Chaz and Dave.
That's it. If you remember, we are now playing as our out music, Beer Belly by Chaz and Dave. Chaz and Dave, a couple of great guys, pub rockers, very, very big over in England, and the wonderful Chaz Hodges actually got on the phone with us, and we had a wonderful interview and chat with him.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, he went on, and it was, I mean, we could have sat here for an hour plus, and just his old stories and everything that he was telling us, fabulous. The people he's met, the things he's done, oh my God.
But enough of that. We teased them enough.
I think so.
Oh, well, good. Well, everybody, yeah, that's going to be our Christmas special. An exclusive. It is, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, it's an exclusive interview with Chaz Hodges of Chaz and Dave, just ahead of their 2011 farewell tour. And that's farewell because they've decided after about 30, 40 years. And also with the passing of Dave's wife the last couple of years, they've decided that they've had enough of doing Chaz and Dave. And Chaz is going to carry on, though, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. He's going to. Dave is kind of. excuse me, I had to clear there. I'm getting over.
Feeling a little hoarse?
Yeah.
You're
getting over bronchitis. And so I'm a little bit under the weather. But yes, Chaz is going on. Chaz and the band. Dave is retiring after, well, it literally was like 35 years of touring.
That's it.
So more on that next show. Tune into next show. It's going to be a great one.
Indeed.
Unlike this one.
I mean, well, I don't know. What this is show number 67. I screwed it up, didn't I, last time?
Last time.
I got all confused and I thought it was 66 and I wanted to use Route 66. And anyway, enough of that. Show 67. Oh, it's just two more until my favorite show.
Me too. It's going to be a glorious show.
Indeed it is. We don't have beers for you today because we have an action-packed show.
We do have coffee.
We do have coffee. And what sort of coffee are we drinking here?
We are drinking a delicious blend of Café du Monde coffee.
Ooh.
And now if anybody knows about beignets down at Café du Monde, it's one of the first stops.
Where's that at?
In New Orleans.
New Orleans.
It's a must stay. You got to go there. You got to get the beignets. You got to get the coffee. And the lovely Sam is down in New Orleans. And she was...
Is that where she is now?
Yes. She's actually flying to Texas and then home a couple days after that. But, yes. She said she... I was on the phone with her the day after she was there, and she said that at midnight, the two people that were there with her had been drinking numerous amounts of wine.
Ooh.
And she pointed out, hey, we've been here 12 hours, and I have not been to Café du Monde yet. So she made them get in a cab at like midnight and go to Café du Monde so she could get her beignets and stuff.
Oh, my God.
So she was a very happy girl.
All right. And what makes this coffee so special?
Well, it's like a chicory coffee. It's not your normal coffee. It's stronger. It's got a very unique flavor to it. It's very good. If you don't like your coffee strong, this is not something for you. And Phil and I were talking beforehand, and I said I like to cut mine with a little cocaine. Another show. About half regular coffee and then half of the chicory coffee to kind of bring it down a little bit. Plus this coffee's expensive, for one.
Is it?
So, yeah,
Somebody gave it to us.
Okay. You know, so. Well, it's not like the regular stuff. That's why you don't need as much. I mean, we were drinking like half cups of coffee because it is a little stronger.
It is, yeah.
And it's not something you go, okay, I'm going to slam this and away I go. No, you want to sip it and enjoy it.
And we are drinking, at your request, the decaffeinated version.
Yes.
And then the flavor is still there, though.
It doesn't really change it that much.
And what have you got in yours?
I have a little bit of eggnog.
Ooh, you're getting ready for Christmas, aren't you? Eggnog in your coffee, ladies and gentlemen. That's a wonderful thing.
Yes. Well, you know what? It is the season. I showed up this morning with a to-go cup of my favorite decaf Earl Grey tea and honey and a little bit of half and half. So.
Well, that's because you'd had bronchitis this week. We were wondering whether you were going to be coughing, spluttering, and wheezing.
Yes.
And
the beginning of the week, I was doing just that. Matter of fact, I missed a day and a half of work because I was so bad. I actually coughed so hard, I actually threw my back out and had to go to the chiropractor.
Oh, my God.
Because of one coughing fit. My doctor said it's not uncommon for people to actually break their ribs coughing with...
And that actually, you know, that's actually interesting because somebody told me the other day that if you see somebody who is having a potential heart attack, and I'm not quite certain how you do that other than the fact that they're lying
on the... Are you having a heart attack?
They're lying on the ground, clutching my chest. Please, you know, hopefully that never happens. But somebody said... If you don't have an aspirin, or they don't have an aspirin, because a lot of people who are susceptible to that carry an aspirin, have them sit up or stand up or whatever. You know, if they're lying on the ground, I don't think they're going to stand up. But
get up.
Yeah. Oh, hang on.
If you want to live, get up.
But have them sit up and cough. Make them cough, you know, because what that's going to do is almost like... the
pressions.
Paddles, right?
Yeah.
And try and get their heart back into rhythm or get it going again or whatever. Now, you know, obviously circumstances may not dictate that possible, but it was certainly something I thought was... there we go. Hey, are you having one? Are you all right?
Okay. Stop hitting me.
I thought that that was actually a very useful piece of information to put in the back of your mind.
Absolutely. It makes sense because figure when you cough, you feel your whole chest tighten up. So it's like... kind of a jolt to your system.
Yes, it is. It is. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So there you go. Not only do you get talk about beer, but you also get health tips on this show. And yeah, here we are this morning at Coffee Talk.
Yeah, right.
Do you like coffee?
Yeah, I love coffee. It would have been better if I would have had breakfast before I came over.
Oh, well, sorry. You know what?
I was hoping for scotch eggs or something. But yeah.
I actually do have a package upstairs of beignet mix that we did bring back about 2 years ago. So it's probably gone off by now if that sort of thing goes off.
I don't know.
However, I think that is all absolutely brilliant, don't you?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes, he does. Thank you very much. Moving on, we are, well, yes, I guess we should have said this earlier, but here we are at the Britain Yankee Pubcast. Thank you very much for joining us, and we might as well get on with what we have on the show. And today it's going to be US Brit Phil's Indulgent Show.
Oh, okay. It's all about you.
It is. It's all about me today.
Isn't it always?
Before we get there, did you have a nice Thanksgiving? What did you do?
It was very, very good Thanksgiving. We went to Sam's sister's house with sister-in-law Susan and brother-in-law John.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the kids there, and Sam's mom and John's mom was there. And it was very nice. We've been going up to their place a few years now, and they make it very enjoyable, very easy, and the food is just phenomenal.
And that's what you want, isn't it? Now, you also have celebrated Hanukkah as well, right, since we last talked?
Yeah, we just got over Hanukkah.
That's right. And if you go back a year ago, I was lucky enough to be invited to your house to find out all about Hanukkah. So if you go back about a year ago about this time, you can find a show that chats all about what Hanukkah's all about.
And that day of eating latkes and stuff is next Friday, so remember to keep that free in your calendar.
Oh, I thought it was over.
Yes, but since Sam's out of town during the last bit of Hanukkah, we're postponing our annual come over and help our house smell like grease for 3 days party, and we'll be making latkes on Friday night. Ooh. I'll probably even put a couple beer butt chickens on the grill.
All right.
And
dead ones?
They will be when they're done.
Okay.
And
well, I did, when the first day of Hanukkah came, I did eat a donut.
Good boy.
Because it's all about eating fried food, right?
Yep. It's all about the grease.
It's all about the
grease. All about the oil.
Grease is the word.
Yeah. Well, yes.
All right. Well, you sound like you had a very relaxing Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I did indeed.
You were gone, right?
I was gone. I was in...
I noticed. I banged on the pub door and nobody answered.
That's right. We had to close down for a couple of days. That was it. And unfortunately, times as they are, we've had to lay off a couple of our staff members.
Mm-hmm.
Kaz, the barmaid, you know, she was okay. She used to have nice jugs filled with beer.
Growlers, I think they're called.
Growlers. Hang on, I got bronchitis.
Oh, here he goes again.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
awesome.
Cool. Oh.
And, you know, unfortunately, we had to get rid of her. It seems that Sid, our war veteran, has also deserted us. I think he's found a better pub down the road. So, you know, we're kind of on our own, some except for all the crowd. And I think they're there. Hang on a minute. Let's listen. They're there.
Doing?
I'm glad about that.
What are they doing here so damn early?
I know. Oh, it's a coffee clutch.
Oh, wonderful.
And just 1 second, listeners. I wish to cough again.
Clearing. This is where...
Good God, this is disgusting.
Coughs up.
I'm worse than you, and I didn't have bronchitis. Anyway, back to the story.
And I'm on meds, so you couldn't have caught it from me.
Okay, yes.
And that's another reason. I'm not drinking. I can't drink for another 10 days. So.
All right. Well, that will make the next beer tasting even better. Right?
Really?
Anyway, so I went to the great state of Colorado, to Denver. Mm-hmm. To stay with my sister-in-law and also to visit with my daughter and grandkids. And while we were out there, we had a great time visiting a brewery.
Really?
And in the meantime, over here, well, I guess in the podosphere, I should say, Phil got some exposure on a different podcast as well. So today's show comprises of a couple of segments of... a tour at the wonderful Oscar Blues Brewery in Longmont, Colorado.
Okay.
and a precy, if you will, of the Top of the Pods show, where Phil gives the top 10 things he misses about traditional British pubs.
Ooh, interesting.
Which would you like to hear first, Michael?
I think I would like to hear the one about the pubs first.
All right. Well, let's give the listeners a little bit of a background.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, there was a very, very successful podcast called Top of the Pods, run by a couple of British guys, I think out of Peterborough, if I'm correct, which is, I think, slightly north of London. Hello! He's doing
Excuse
it as well.
Me. Me.
It was called Top of the Pods. Listeners, or they would put together top 10 lists of items, and they would count down from 10 or down to 1, and then they talk about it. It was an extremely amusing and entertaining show, unlike this one. So I thought, you know what? Well, actually, what happened was one of the gentlemen, John, went off, and he's now living in Israel. His wife is Israeli, and so he got a job over there, and he's working over there. So they stopped doing the show for quite a while. However, they started up just recently.
Ooh,
and
okay.
Again, it's a very infrequent show. It's basically when they can get together, which is kind of like us.
Yep.
And it's amusing. Anyway, I thought it would be great to send in a top 10 list about things I missed about traditional English pubs, which is the whole premise behind the Briton Yankee here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trying to relive the pubs from the past. You know, mm-hmm, I don't about relive, mm-hmm, but just keep the traditions alive.
Sure.
So they read it out, and it was a very amusing show outside of the fact it was about me. But
then it was a brilliant show.
Yeah, brilliant. Oh, I don't have the button, Andy, sorry.
Oh, bummer. Oh, man.
You're right. I've caught it. This is terrible. Anyway, so we thought that what you should do is, if you're a podcast listener, please go out to iTunes, subscribe to Top of the Pods. There you go. And have a listen to their shows. But we thought, well, here's an introduction for you. So we proceed down their 45-minute show into about 10, 11 minutes, and you'll hear the total top 10 and what Rob and John have to say about Phil's list.
You're listening to the Top of the Pods. Top 10.
It's the Top 10 Countdown.
I've got a list today that comes from Phil Clark,
okay,
who's a British gentleman who hails from Sussex and now lives in Chicago. British gentleman, gentleman, the things he misses about traditional English pubs. So basically, we're talking about smoke, sick, urine, that kind of stuff. The Briton Yankee, Rob, is a pub in Chicago,
yeah,
that's run by aforementioned Mr. Phil Clark with his friend, who I believe is called Lingo. 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 If you choose to do the list, can you also give a shout-out to my podcast co-host, Mike, a.k.a. Lingo. I'm not
Lingo.
Quite sure what sort of name that is. Lingo. 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 Okay, so number 10 on Phil's list about the things that he misses about traditional English pubs is red carpets with bad patterns and beer stains. I don't remember being in a pub with a red carpet. I do remember them having bad patterns, and I do remember a lot of beer stains and,
yeah,
urine stains and sick stains,
yeah,
and other sorts of stains. I figure a pub shouldn't have any carpets at all.
Really? Well, and just wood, sawdust.
Exactly. That's exactly what Phil says.
You're listening to the Top of the Pods. Top 10. Number 9
on the list of traditional pub stuff is horse brasses. You can see Phil here has done his homework on the horse brasses.
Could never understand that. If you go...
You're not a fan of horse brasses, Rob.
No, not at all. He says, this is top 10 things I miss about traditional English pubs. So he misses horse brass.
I don't think I'd miss horse brasses.
Not really, no. I know the sort of pubs that he's on about now.
Number 8.
What is number 8?
Number 8 on Phil's list of stuff that he misses in traditional pubs. Watney's Red Barrel. I mean, I don't know what that is.
No, do I.
Apparently, it used to be the beer of choice for a whole generation. First, I would like a pint of Watney's. We would reply, no thanks, I wouldn't wash my dog in it. So he doesn't actually like it, but he does miss it. Maybe he misses the joke that, no thanks, I wouldn't wash my dog in it.
He misses a beer that no one likes, including himself. I think this list is titled incorrectly, or we've interpreted it wrong. He's mentioned here, used to be the beer for a choice of a whole generation. What generation is that going to be? Is he quite old, this is Phil?
Well, Phil says he's an old fart.
Okay, yeah, so I think he's got to be in his 70s or 80s. Okay, so we've got carpet that he hates and because it smells. He's got brass that he hates. Barrels of drink that he really hates as well. These are things that he misses about English pubs.
So basically, he likes stuff that he hates.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know.
That's very English, though, because we like to complain, right? Yeah. So the problem is, in a British pub these days, Phil has nothing to complain about. TopOfThePods.com. Number 7. Continuing the stuff that Phil hates about traditional English pubs, number 7 is small 32-inch TVs with Match of the Day. Now, it's all bloody great 60-inch plasmas like a freaking cinema. Speaks like an American, now, you see. It's been there too long.
A freaking cinema.
Let's keep
cinema.
That for the cinema, not the pub.
Yeah, that's
again,
true.
It's something that he doesn't like.
What sort of size are they usually, like plasmas and stuff?
I don't know. It's a big TV.
Right, 32 inches.
Because he's like 90 years old. There wasn't even a 32-inch TV in existence when he was in a pub. Oh, mind you, he's probably thinking of those TVs that were built into sideboards. That's his 32-inch flat-screen TV.
He's not that old,
is he? It's got doors on the front, and it contains a drinks cabinet as well.
A decanter set.
Number 6.
So number 6 on your stuff do you want to that he hates in pubs that he actually misses now that he's not in those pubs is a bloody good chin wag. I don't know if I've ever had. Well, he says here about every topic under the sun.
Yeah,
I mean that's a lot of topics.
That is. That's quite a few.
I mean that's not something you could get through in an afternoon.
Not really. No. Well, let's go to number 5 before this list gets way too long.
You're listening to the Top of the Pods. Top 10. Number 5.
Okay, so number 5 in the list of top 10 stuff from pubs that Phil misses, who's an English man living in Chicago. Number 5, Plowman's Lunches, Rob.
Plowman's Lunches. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know those.
Most of the pubs in towns, and especially the country, would serve a wonderful lunch called a Plowman's, comprising of a huge chunk of delicious, flavoursome cheddar cheese, a pickled onion, some Branston pickle, maybe a small salad of cress and rocket, and of course a lovely, crusty piece of French bread. Simple, delicious, and the perfect food to accompany a nice pint. Sounds like he writes menus, Rob.
It does. That is a menu. That's menu speak for a cheese sandwich. Does Phil miss these? Does he say?
I actually believe that number 5 and number 6 are things that he actually likes. I think the first half of the list is he misses the stuff he hates in the traditional pub.
Yeah.
And then the next part of the list, I think that's probably the stuff he actually did like. Because Phil sounds like he likes to talk. I mean, he's got his own podcast. And he's talking about good chin wags where he talks about every topic under the sun. And Plowman's Lunches, well, Phil, he looks like the sort of guy that would like a Plowman's Lunch. So, you know, I think this is the stuff that he likes.
Do you know what it sounds like? Phil's been out of the country for so long. You know, he's been barred from coming back in England again. And and he's reminiscing. And, you know, and it's one of those things you think, in hindsight, urine-stained pub floors, you know, they weren't that bad after all, were they?
Or, they weren't that bad, no.
You know what? I do actually miss horse brasses, or I do actually miss beer that you can wash your dog in. I miss that. He's reminiscing
them.
Because
my dog hasn't had a wash for quite a time.
So things in Chicago do actually sound quite bad. You know, puts things in perspective. God knows what's on the floor in a Chicago pub. Could be anything. Bullets.
Probably bodies, Rob.
Yeah, it's got to be. As American, you know, everyone's always getting shot over there. That's what it is.
Shot, knifed, overdosed.
Yeah, there's like those white outlines of bodies
all over the floor.
It's everywhere.
You're listening to Top of the Pods. 4.
How's that? Go on.
So anyway, number 4 on Phil's list of stuff that he actually likes, that he misses in a traditional English pub, is darts, Rob, another pub games. If there's no darts, maybe there was a bar billiards table or even some old locals playing dominoes in the corner. Phil is definitely very old.
Yeah,
if
bar
he
billiards.
He remembers pubs with bar billiards. I mean, I don't even know what bar billiards is.
I think, this was like Edwardian times, I think. It was like a... seriously.
I think it's Georgian.
Georgian.
It's Venetian.
Venetian. We went for table football in the end in this country, but I don't know, since Phil's been in the country, or been out the country, I think we've moved on to...
I think Phil's trying to sound younger than he is where he says darts, because I mean bar billiards, that's very, very old, and dominoes, that's like ancient. I think when he says darts, what he means really is archery.
Archery.
Last time he was in a pub, they actually still had archery in the pub.
Top 10.
Number 3.
Okay, so number three on the top 10 things that I miss about traditional English pubs, as said by Phil from Chicago, is friendly, jolly, red-faced landlords.
Have you ever worked at a bar? I can't remember if you have or not.
No, I didn't, Rob. Although, I did have a bar in my house when I was 13.
How did that work?
My stepdad built a proper, like a pub in the garage.
Was that legal?
Converted it into a pub. Had a dartboard. It had a plastic mat that said how tall you were as to where you would stand. It had a bar, optics, a mirror ball.
So what was the disco ball for?
I don't know. I guess my stepdad would have the occasional disco in there.
Really?
Just on his own.
On his own. Wow, that sounds pretty awesome. It's got a number two. That's the one.
Number two.
Okay, number two is John.
Number two of the top 10 list of stuff that's in pubs that Phil misses from traditional times is the closing time bell. All I remember from closing bell is a mad rush to the bar to order at least 4 pints to get you through the next 35 minutes.
You're listening to the Top of the Pods. Top 10.
It's the Top 10 Countdown.
Top 10.
Okay, so number 10 from the list of stuff about traditional pubs from Phil is red carpets with bad patterns and beer stains. Number 9, horse brasses. Number 8, Watney's Red Barrel. Stuff you wouldn't wash your dog in. Number 7, 32-inch small TVs with Match of the Day. Number 6, bloody good chinwag. Number 5, ploughman's lunches. 4, darts and other pub games. 3, friendly, jolly, red-faced landlords. And 2, the closing bell.
And number 1.
Number 1.
Go on.
Okay, Rob, you ready?
Yeah.
The number one of the stuff that Phil misses about traditional English pubs is real ale from the cask.
I don't need it in my life at all.
I agree, Rob, but what I'd like to add to it, Rob, is my take on real ale.
Yeah.
I don't like real ale. It's as simple as that. Because real ale reminds me of having my face stuck in a pile of beer sick, because that's the same smell. And then 20 years later, I went to the beer festival, and it all came back was once I took one drink of Monkey's or whatever it was called.
Oh yeah, they give them the stupid disgusting names, don't they?
I don't like real ale at all. Phil, you can keep your real ale. I'm not interested. I've spent so much time reading the email that what's-his-face, Phil, had sent us, that I didn't read the introduction to the top 10 list, which was actually in the PDF that he'd sent me.
Oh, okay, go on.
Being an expat now living in Chicago and originating from Worthing in West Sussex, one of the top things I miss about England is the pubs. Not the plastic pubs of today, all smart and striving to bring in the young crowds with cheap food and ultra-cold lager, but the original, friendly, local, and the wonderful old and antiquated country pubs. I miss them a lot, so I've installed a reproduction English pub in the basement of my house and tried to make it as great a place to visit and enjoy a drink with friends and family, and a place to hold conversations and arguments about everything and nothing in particular. So here's my top 10 list of things I miss from those days. Some good, some bad, but all bring back happy memories. There you go. See, we were not understanding.
We didn't read that at all.
We didn't read this out.
John, you didn't read it out. It's your list to read out, and
it's
failed.
I take responsibility. But it reminds me now of my father-in-law. Not my father-in-law, my stepfather. Because my stepfather also built a pub in his house. Not in his basement, because he didn't have a basement. But he put it in his garage instead.
Do you reckon he's tried all these then? So if he's made a replica pub in his basement...
That is actually his pub. His pub has red carpets with bad patterns and beer stains.
Do you think
it's actually got horse brasses in it, and he sells Watney's Red Barrel, even though he hates it, and he wouldn't even wash his dog in it. I don't think he's even got a dog.
Do you think
small 32-inch TV installed in the corner with constantly running Match of the Day. What else? He enjoys a bloody good chinwag over a ploughman's lunch whilst playing darts and other pub games. And he gives real ale from the cask. This is his pub in his basement.
You're listening to the Top of the Pods. Top 10.
It's the Top 10 Countdown.
Yeah, so if you're in England, don't visit the pub. That's our advice.
If you go to England, you should go to a pub in the middle of the summer and sit in the beer garden.
Oh, yeah, that is nice.
That's where all the action is.
Yeah, it's nice out there because that's what more people do. There we go. I'll speak to you later, John. Take care, and thanks to everyone for listening.
Take it easy, Rob.
All right, bye.
You're listening to the Top of the Pods. Top 10.
It's the Top 10 Countdown.
So there you go, Mike.
Jesus. How old did they think you were?
Well, yeah, I don't know if Rob and John listened. They did say that they did give the Brit and Yankee podcast a good plug, which was all very nice. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. They seemed to think that I was in my 70s. But Rob and John, if you do listen, I'm not in my 70s.
He's in his 80s.
Yeah, thank you.
It's right, you little whippersnappers. I'm going to come out there and give you a piece of my mind if I could spare it.
Get the hell off my lawn.
Yeah.
That was very funny, though.
Yeah, so there you go. Apparently, the pubs have changed. Oh, I mean, I left in 1980, okay? Right. So 30 years? Yeah. Yeah, 29, 30 years coming up this year.
Sure.
And the pubs have changed. Apparently, there is no longer red carpet on the floor.
Yeah, kind of like here.
And apparently, they've never heard of Watney's Red Barrel. But it sounds like the tales of lager louts are very true. And that there is, you know, a diminishing demand for good beer. Because if, you know, the type, you know, John was saying at the end, he doesn't like real ale. And I don't think he gets it in Israel anyway.
No, well, they get stuff like Hebrew down there.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Remember we tasted that one? It was Hebrew ales.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And now they have many more. And I was talking to a friend of mine at work, Dan, who was saying that they have many, many more and different ones now. And him and I think he said his brother-in-law had tried one just recently, and it was about as good as the other.
Okay, yeah, we seem to remember they weren't that good anyway. Yeah. But, yeah, so it does sound like things have changed a little bit, and I suppose that's okay. Time moves on.
Absolutely.
Indeed so. Well, do you have any more questions about English pubs, Mike?
Jesus, I don't know.
I think we covered it all, right?
Touched on everything there. That was very informative.
There you go. And it was funny, too. And that's the whole thing. Rob and John do a great job. Good luck to you, mates. So, moving on. What's next on
Must
the agenda?
Oh, yeah. I want to hear about your tour.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yes. I was staying in Longmont, Colorado with my sister-in-law, which is about 30 minutes direct north up I-25 from Denver. I'm not certain if you're familiar with Denver.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I've been to Denver once and couldn't wait to get out, only because there was a huge snowstorm coming off the mountains, and I got out of town. Actually, I got out at 7 in the morning, and the guy said, well, the heavy stuff hasn't hit, and it was one lane all the way to the Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
So, I hate to see what came in after I left.
Yeah. They have extraordinarily weird weather, I think, out there, because, you know, being so, they're kind of in the bowl in the plain just before you get to the foothills and the Rockies. And what happens is all the weather comes over from the Rockies, and the Rockies does something to it, you know, meteorologically speaking.
Right.
Hey, I got a weather thing I got to tell you in just a second. Hang on. So it's amazing what goes through my mind.
I know. All of a sudden, the finger comes out and he points at me. Now, this is so you will remember to. Okay, we'll talk weather.
Anyway, so you get this weird weather where one day it's going to be like 60 degrees in the middle of winter, and the next day they get a foot of snow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like very up and down. Anyway, Longmont, Colorado. Well, let me tell you the weather thing first, because otherwise we'll get into the brewery. We had a discussion. Okay, the local darts league plays down here at the Brit and Yankee, and played here the other day, and we had a big discussion about.
That surprises me.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Usually,
to have a discussion.
Let me clarify. Little discussion. Screaming and swearing back and forth as you're throwing metal-pointed objects at a board while drinking alcohol. That's their little discussion.
Well, we don't actually throw them at one another. We do have standards, you know.
Yeah, as you're calling everybody, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I can't stay here because you'll bleep it out.
Yeah, right. There you go. Anyway, okay. We were having a discussion. Do you know the weather lady on Fox? Our local Fox affiliate here is WFLD. And there is a local weather lady on there by the name of Amy Freeze.
She's actually my friend on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, we were having a big discussion. Somebody said that's not a real name.
Probably.
And so we had to look it up. So I whipped out my
Excuse me?
BlackBerry.
Oh, good. Wow.
And looked it up. And she is very well qualified in.
She's been around.
Yeah.
In the new, in the weather.
Oh, in the weather ways, yeah. Yeah. And at the end of it, it says.
Clearing.
Clearing. Arsenal. At the end of it, it says that her name really is. She comes from Indiana and her name really is Freeze.
Wow.
So there was great contention at Darts to find. No, it's not Freeze. It's something else. Well, her married name is something else, but her real name is Freeze. So
right.
That's what I wanted to tell
that's
you.
That's interesting.
An interesting little tidbit.
Yeah. Well, here, you want to talk about coincidences and that showing the path of your career.
Welcome to the Cough Show.
Remember Gary Meyer? He's now at
Steve Dahl, Gary Meyer. Right. They were on very famous shock jocks, if you will,
right.
On Chicago radio.
Gary, and this will just take a second, Gary is now on a radio station in Chicago, WGN.
World's greatest newspaper.
Right. Well, he's been into radio for, 30-plus years. Did you know his parents' initials were AM and FM?
Oh. Maya, yeah, so that would be whatever the names are.
Yeah.
Andy and Frey.
Actually, it was Frank.
Frank. There you
Frank
go.
Meyer, and I can't remember what he said his mom said, but he always, when anybody talked about coincidence going into a job career,
right.
His parents' initials were AM and FM.
For the listeners abroad who don't know what that is, that's the two different ways of getting radio signals over here. Do they have that in... Because they have long wave and short wave and stuff like that in the UK.
Maybe that's how they
differentiate. That. Thank you. Ding. Give me a ding. Thank you.
Between the two. But yeah. Anyways, let's go back to your tour.
Oh, yeah. So back at the brewery.
Meanwhile, back at the brewery, little Phil was going in for his tour.
So I call up local breweries. There is a couple in Longmont, Colorado. Now, we have reviewed beers from one of them, the Left Hand Brewery, mm-hmm. and we like them very much.
Yes.
There is also another one in town called the Oscar Blues Brewery, and that's Oskar. And the Oscar Blues Brewery was started by a gentleman by the name of Dale, and I can never pronounce his last name, but you'll hear it on the upcoming tour. A little bit further away in another town called Lyons, Colorado. And it's become a firm favorite, and they've now moved into a building that's similar in style in an industrial area to the Two Brothers Brewery that we talk about down here in Chicago.
Yeah, it seems to be popular because they got enough room for all their brewing equipment and stuff, and they can also set up a, tap house, too.
Right, exactly. They got the room, and that's exactly what happened. So I gave them a call. And said, hey, I'm in town and we do brewery reviews and beer reviews. Any chance of coming down and talking to someone? We'd like to, we don't want to do just a tour. We want to chat to people. So the lady on the other end of the phone, whose name turned out to be Tree, T-R-E-E, and there's a story behind that. There's a story behind everything.
Was she a tree hugger?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So she wasn't some old hippie,
No, she was actually from New York, came out here and loved it and stayed, so okay. That's kind of cool. Anyway, Tree was an absolutely delightful hostess, mm-hmm. or host. What's the politically correct way of saying it now? Host, well, I think, isn't it?
Host is fine.
Hostess is a little thing, isn't it? Then they make cupcakes, cakes.
You also can say they're a hostess like in a restaurant that seats you and
right.
That kind of thing that'll take you to your table.
Well, she took me around the brewery and I said, can I come down for a tour? And she says, sure, what about tomorrow? I says, well, I'm 30 minutes away. Can I come now? She says, sure, come on down.
Wow.
What a wonderful lady, I have to tell you. So here is...
So wait a second. You got a personal tour without having to schedule it?
Worse. I did.
You weren't alone, right? Or were you alone with her?
What? With who? It was just me.
Just you.
Oh, it was just me, yeah.
You got a personal tour.
Oh, yeah.
You slick little...
It was all very professional, my friend. Very professional.
I'm sure it was.
Anyway, so we actually had this wonderful tour. And so for the next 30 minutes, why don't you join me whilst we go around Oscar Blues Brewery, and then when we come back on the other side, we'll have some comments, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Oh, here we go. I'm sitting in a parking lot in an industrial center in Longmont, Colorado. That's about 30 minutes north of Denver, straight up I-25. It's in the towards the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and in fact, to my left as I'm sitting, I see the delightful Rockies all white and pristine after a recent snowfall up on the top of the Rockies. It's just before Thanksgiving, and in this parking lot outside this somewhat standard industrial complex is a sign, Oscar Blues Brewery, anti-corporate headquarters. It sounds something radical to me. Let's go inside and find out what it's all about. We're met up with the lovely Tree, an intriguing, delightful name. Tree, what's your role here at the brewery?
I am the HR person, customer service person, and tour manager, and whatever else falls under any office-like, I guess.
Any other task. Work, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we obviously hit good here by calling in just on the off chance to see if there's any opportunities to have a chat with the brewers and find out what's going on at Oscar Blues Brewery. Now, you are one of the first breweries, I think, in the country to provide canned beer. Is that correct?
That is correct. Dale decided he wanted to can, and people thought we were crazy, and he did his research. And years later, people are coming to us asking us how we started and all that now. It's been really cool to watch.
That's good. Now, we're heading over to the brewery, and Dale and I... How does he pronounce his last name?
Kotechus.
Bless you. Kotechus, is that it? Okay,
yes.
Dale Kotechus. He started up the brewery what year?
Well, he started a restaurant in 1997 in Lyons, and he thought he'd homebrew it maybe to bring in some people, and he decided to can beer for the same reason. So I think around 2002 is when he put the first beer in the can. We moved to this facility in 2008 of May.
Oh, right.
So.
Okay, well, let's go in and see what we can find.
Here's our can line. It does, it fills 160 cans a minute, and the end of the line, six packs, 120 cans a minute. We divert some for 12 packs, and we keg as well.
That's almost as much as I drink. She's told me I can try a Mama's Little Yellow Pills. Oh, look at this. This is fresh off the line.
Fresh off the line.
Oh, my gosh.
It doesn't get cold.
I'm sorry?
It doesn't get colder than that.
No, it doesn't. Oh, it doesn't even have a top on the can. This is absolutely amazing. I love this. Mm. Oh, yeah. Very nice. And this is a... what style of pills? Oh, that way?
This is a Pilsner. This
Bohemian
is
or German or?
A German style Pilsner, which Tim will tell you more about, but it is done with a traditional Saaz hop from Czechoslovakia.
Cool. And I'm a bit of a hoppy guy myself. I love the hops.
Have you had the Guvna?
No, I have not had the Guvna.
About a year and a half ago, it was going to be a place for our employees just to have a drink after work. And the first night we opened, 1,000 members of the public showed up all night long. So we are just for the public. It's a tap room, and we sell our beers.
And the name of the tap room is?
The Tasty Weasel.
There you go. Lovely.
We also do Firkin Fridays, where Tim, who you'll meet, is in charge of our Firkin program.
Okay.
And we do live music and bluegrass picks and open mic nights here, too.
Wow, how about that? See, open mic nights. And speaking of mic, Lingo, if you're listening to this, you could come down and sing a song. Oh, my gosh, they got beer coming out their ears here. She is pulling now a Guvna, which is an Imperial IPA, and I have a lovely sample of this. Ooh, look at that. It's a little unfiltered. Or is it supposed to be clearer?
The Guvna is filtered less fine because you don't want to lose all that hoppy, wonderful flavor and texture. So I believe they use a finer grade of the filter on the other beers than they do the Guvna.
Now that, to me, the hops are coming through, but it's a mild hop flavor.
It's Summit hops, and it's also dry hopped with Summit.
Summit? Summit from?
Ooh, don't know if it's Oregon or Washington.
Okay. Well,
it, I should know, but I don't.
And it's got a slightly citrusy taste. It's an Imperial IPA, and I'm thinking that is it a high alcohol?
It is. It is 9.8% alcohol.
9.8.
Technically 10%, I guess, but.
This is excellent because I wouldn't have guessed it to be 10% at all. This is going to creep up with you and slap you in the face.
We also have a barley wine that we don't can, but they've been aging for a year. We have that on top. That's 13% alcohol. Ooh. Do you want to try a little bit of that?
Oh, sure. Yes, listeners, it's a typical pubcast where Phil and Lingo, except we don't have Lingo this time around, get totally arsehole. I mean, and she's out there pouring the bar. Oh, my goodness me. This is coming in deliciously. Oh, I can see this. This is... All the beers seem to be unfiltered. Is that what it is in the can, or is it just at the brewery?
No, actually. I'll pour you a sample of some of the other beers. Gordon, Govna, and the barley wine, which is not our tradition. You know, we don't do that all year round. They're filtered. I don't know how to say it with, you know, a less fine filter. Mm-hmm. Tim will know exactly how that goes down. But yeah, I can see why the first beers are pouring. You're thinking of filter. Our Firkin program and our cask aged beers sometimes are unfiltered or less filtered.
Well, I've tasted the barley wine, and that has all the flavors of the. Well, it's just. This is the best one I've ever tasted. This is delicious. It's rich. It's not. It doesn't taste alcoholy. It's kind of a medium browning color. Nice head to it. There's not much aroma, but then again, my nose is not that good. It's big, but it's not that good.
Yeah.
But I like this a lot. Mm. You could only get this here.
Yes, we can only get this here. We don't can it, so we can't distribute it. So we sell it through our tasting room and for specialty things going on here.
Mm. Rich, nutty, full-bodied. Oh, I like that a lot. That's really good. Very impressive. So far, so good.
We also have a whiskey.
I got to go back to the pills. Oh, it's still there. Okay, that's good. Tree is getting barrel-aged. Ooh, now the barrel-aged beer. Now, does this have a name?
This or that. Oh, that's ODB. The barley wine is called ODB.
ODB, okay. ODB. And the one you've got in your hand is barrel-aged, so that's obviously good.
Sour cherry.
It's a cherry sour. That's
sour cherry chub in a whiskey barrel.
Is that kind of like a Belgian sour ale?
Yes.
We need help from the brewmaster. Or at least one of them. She's rushing off. I have to tell you, this place is amazing. If you need to come somewhere where it's got atmosphere, beer, good brews, everything else. This is the place. This is wonderful. Okay, I'm sampling the... she ran off to get Tim. Barrel-aged beer. Oh, my gosh. This smells of an oak whiskey barrel, and it's wafting up. Oh. Oh, yeah. A sour cherry ale. Okay, now, in the past on the podcast, we have sampled the Goose Island cherry ales, the cherry stouts. This one, I don't know if it's a stout, but it's certainly an ale. And it has definite cherry flavor, not obnoxious, not sweet. And then at the end of it, a sour finish. And then that wonderful oak barrel flavor. I mean, so far I haven't had a bad beer, even the pills. It's amazing. And I just had an afterthought on this beer. This one needs to be served in a snifter glass after dinner. After you've had a lovely steak dinner, I'm thinking, and you want something to finish it off that's kind of like a dessert, a little sweet, but not too sweet, this is perfect. I would say that all you need of this is a snifter and a fireplace. That's what you need. Well, she's run off into the back there, and I'm hoping she's coming back. Here she comes.
I got Eric.
You got Eric? Oh, I know Eric. Eric the half a bee? No, never mind.
We've got Eric Bauman here, and he is the cellar man. He's in charge of the cellar.
The cellar master. How are you, Eric? Pleased to meet you. Phil Clark from the Britain Yankee podcast.
Cool. How are you doing?
Doing great.
What have you been doing in the back there that you couldn't find you?
Well, right now we're in the middle of filtering 400 barrels of Dale's Pale Ale. So that's equivalent of 800 half-barrel kegs.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a busy day in the cellar. We pitched yeast into a Pilsner batch today. And then we're getting another tank ready for to receive wort.
I think I just tasted the Pilsner, right?
You did.
I did. I've got it open there. It's right there. So, yeah. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
What exactly? Tell us a little bit about the background of the brewery and how you came to put your beer in cans.
All right. Well, originally, the brewery opened in the 1990s in Lyons, Colorado, which is a couple miles down the road from here. And originally, it was, just a small brew pub, a small brewing system. And it wasn't until 2002 Dale Kotecius decided to put his beer into a can. At the time, nobody was putting beer in a can, and it seemed like a good idea.
There's a lot of people I know who will say, yeah, you put it in a can, but don't you get that can taste?
Right. That's a myth. We actually, our cans come from Ball Aerospace Technologies, and they have a liner inside of them that separates the metal from the beer. And actually, the package, a can, is a superior product than the bottle. It keeps out light and it keeps out oxygen. No oxygen is going to come through a cap like it would in a bottle, and no light can come through the glass because it's a can. So
I know that a lot of the beers that you serve here go from the Pilsner, which should be served cold, through the ales. I don't know if you do any porters or stouts. I haven't got to that on my tasting tour yet.
Yeah.
But they seem to be served chilled. Is that something that you brew them that way? Or because I know if you get cans, you stick them in, and everybody over here in America loves the cold beer,
yeah.
Right? What's your opinion on the temperature and the serving?
Yeah, people like cold beer. Like you were saying, Pilsners are generally served colder. And then we do make a stout. It's the 1050 Imperial Stout. And I would encourage people to maybe try that at a little warmer temperature. But just the way we serve beer here, we don't have separate cooling rooms. It's all one temperature. And you'll find that typically at most bars. It comes out of the same cold room,
right.
Same temperature.
So if you want to drink it and get a lot of flavor to it, just let it sit there for a while, right? And sip it.
Yep, yeah, sip it and enjoy it.
Tell us a little bit about the name, Oscar Blues. Now, for the listeners, it's O-S-K-A-R.
Right.
And Oscar Blues, that's a strange name based on the name of the brewer who who started it up and everything.
None of us really know where any of the names come from in the past. Dale just has a sense of humor and a weird twist to his personality, I guess, and... I think it's two different concepts. He knew somebody named Oscar, and there's something to do with blue, and it came together.
Because Chicago, where we're located, of course, home of the blues. So do you have blues going? I know you've
got
brew pubs, right?
Yep. We have lots of blues. He brings in national acts, actually, in Lyons. And now that we have a restaurant here in town, we've started to bring the national acts to Longmont, too, which is really cool because... there's not much of that scene going on here, so.
Right.
But he's always been about music and food, and the beer, I think, was like to try and sell and bring people to his restaurant, and it just took over. So, here we have Tim.
This is Tim. How are you, Tim? What's your last name, Tim?
Matthews.
Tim Matthews. So you are one of the brew masters, or?
I can't call myself a master, not yet. Call me back.
Are you a master of your own domain?
My own domain for sure.
And he'll tell you about the cherry tub that I froze and couldn't finish telling you about.
Very basic. It was we took an infected barrel and put some chub in it, and obviously it soured out naturally, and then it was aged, and then it was aged on cherries. Macerated cherries thrown right into the barrel.
So you took chub ale, which is what type of beer?
Well, Scottish style, so a malt forward beer.
Right.
And that went right into the barrel post-fermentation during the maturation stage, and it was aged in the barrel for about 6 months. And then we macerated a whole bunch of cherries. I think about 24 pounds of cherries for 55 gallons of beer. And toss them right in and let the whole thing stew. And then after 3 months, we racked it and carved it.
Yeah, I've tasted A lot of them, we went down to Goose Island Brewery, if you're familiar with that,
in Chicago.
Yep. And we had the pleasure of tasting their cherry-aged stout. Oh, I beg your pardon. That was at Walter Payton's Roundhouse. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. That's in Aurora, Illinois.
All right.
I know that everybody's doing the whiskey barrel-aged, but what I noticed about your brew was the exceptionally strong but not obnoxious taste of the oak barrel. I mean, it really came through. I'm wondering if that's because you're not doing a stout, but it's a Scottish ale base.
A lot of that has to do with the lifespan, where it is, the barrel. Okay. The barrel, when we first get it, comes directly from Stranahan's Colorado Whiskey. That's a local distillery. And it initially will have an intense whiskey flavor and aroma.
Right.
Now, once we use it a second time, we will actually rinse it after the first use. And the second use will expose the oak, because the whiskey has been stripped away by the first beer and the rinse.
Well, it's a winner in my book. That's one of the best. And certainly different ales, because, you know, Belgian sours, they're great, but to have one that's got that oak flavor, that's a winner.
There's a new trend when it comes to barrel aging and obtaining sour barrels. Just call up a distillery or a winery and just ask for an infected barrel. And that infected barrel will deliver it's kind of random and unpredictable, but at the same time, it is very natural. And that's the difference between an inoculated barrel, inoculated with a Brettanomyces yeast,
inoculated. That's a new word on me.
Yeah. Well, it's just you can actually control what kind of bacteria or yeast goes into the barrel.
Ah.
And Brettanomyces is a yeast, and Lactobacillus is probably the Pediococcus are the two main bacteria used in souring out beers, and they're all very different flavors.
It works. That's all I can tell you. If you're out here, folks, try it, because that's the only place you're going to get it. What is on tap for the future? Everybody has tried to make exceptionally different beers. What's Oscar Blues making?
I can't say what we're going to come out with, but there's always innovation in the future. But right now, we have our 6 core beers that we come out of here.
March was when we just unveiled.
I'm sorry, Trey?
March was when we just got our latest brand unveiled in March. So we're still new on that one.
All right. We've added one beer in the spring, in the past 2 springs. The Pilsner came out in 2009 and the Gubna in 2010. Who knows what this spring might hold. However, with the expansion that's going through and the tanks we have to fill as is, the core beers might be more than enough for us to handle at this point. However, over at the Lions Colorado Brew Pub, new beers are always being experimented with, from different versions of coffee porters to Belgian styles, like a hoppy Duvel clone, and German style lagers from alt beer in alt beers, and but also Doppelbock and Meritzen's and the like. So there's a lot of experimenting at that brewery, but over here, what's going to be available across the country is going to be the 6 core beers. But there's always new twists on those things too.
You said available across the country. Are these available in Illinois? Because I've been looking up and down and I can't find them.
Midwest is a little tough to find. We are very, very frequent across the entire Eastern Seaboard and Western Seaboard, and especially in the mountain states. But
25. We're in 25 states. We have 80 distributors, and we get calls all the time when you come into our state right now, because we're expanding. We're trying to hold tight with our quality. That's really our focus, has always been quality and customer service. So we don't want to diminish that to go into other markets until we're positive. You know, we just filled a row of tanks, and you know, that's because we had run out of beer. So,
well, you guys, I have to brew calls.
Thank you very much, you, Tim. Take care.
Yeah. Cheers.
Well, that was Tim Matthews. He's going off. He's got to do something with his tanks.
He said you could follow him.
Wow. Well, look, maybe we can go back there and have a look. Let me have a quick slip of my brew here. Hang on. And we'll take a quick break in between this. Hang on, folks.
At the old clock again. And by that time, for the 1:45, the last call for alcohol. I said, hey, Mr. Bartender, what do you want? Well, one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer.
So we're going to head round the back now, and Tree says, okay, bring your Pilsner with you. Okay, I'm doing it. And I'm telling you, listeners, we're doing this at 9 o'clock in the morning. No, we're not really. It's afternoon. Now, we're walking into the back of the brewery, and there's a bunch of hoses on the ground, so I've got to watch that I don't fall arse over tit here.
Yeah.
So we're at the heart of the brewing situation. Now, Tim mentioned that he put in new tanks. Which are these the new ones here?
These ones over here, we just invested in a bunch of new fermentation tanks, 200-barrel tanks. And as you all know, there's 31 gallons in a barrel.
Of course I know that, yeah.
You know, so we have the 100-barrel tanks there, and we just needed to get more. This is a 50-barrel brewing system that we started on, and it's been here since we moved to the brewery. And that's what Tim's messing with under there.
So what's he doing under there? He's actually sucking beer out of one of the tanks? Not by hand, I should ask. He's got a machine for that.
I looked, he was stirring in the mash tun, or stirring in the kettle. So I'm not quite sure where he's at in his procedure. But I'm sure when he stops his little timing, he will come update us.
Oh, cool. We can go up the top. We're going up. We might fall in one of the tanks, folks. I have to climb up here. Here we go. Great. He's up.
He's up.
And looking in the tank, it looks like he's got, oh my gosh, it's
just begun the louder stage. Or this will be Gordon, and this is the first run innings of the Gordon starting to fill up the kettle.
And the Gordon brew is?
The Gordon brew is the double red, imperial red, dry hopped ale.
And what's the story behind that? Because I noted on the can, I was drinking Gordon last night, and I noted on the can it said if you knew Gordon, then you knew a good guy, or if you didn't know him, tough or something. What's the story? Gordon's
amazing. I think Tree could tell you more about Gordon than I could.
What's the story behind Gordon? Backstory.
Gordon Knight was a volunteer fireman, and he lived in up outside of Lyons, and he died in a helicopter as he was flying up to Netherland, I believe, or beyond. And he was a brewer, and he loved hoppy beer, and so I think that was even his recipe. I'm not sure, but Dale and him were friends, and it's been popular ever since. So it's a tribute to Gordon.
And what better way to honor him, huh, than to name a beer after him?
Yeah,
that's a good beer too. So now
Tim
has rushed off behind here. He closed up this mash. It's a mash tun, right?
Yes, this is a mash tun.
And he closed it up, and now he's going to stop.
That's the mash tun.
Oh, that's the mash tun. This is the kettle.
Uh-huh.
It was very deep. Do they have to climb inside to clean this out?
They do. They do, or they use hoses. Depends, definitely. Cleaning is probably 75 or 80% of their jobs, just because of the whole need for cleanliness and cross-contamination
right.
and all that.
Right.
So, yeah, these guys are in and out of these tanks all the time.
That's pretty cool. Well, it's an impressive setup you have here, and I would definitely recommend that anybody who comes out to Colorado comes to Longmont, you know, takes that 30-minute ride up from Denver and comes and visit the brewery. What do you have a website?
We do. It's www.oscarblues.com, and it's OSKARBLUES.
And you have brew pubs where you can dine and enjoy the beers?
We do. We own a restaurant and a brew pub / grill. One's at the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, right when you go up to Estes and Allen's Park in Lyons. And then the other is right around the corner here in Longmont. There's a huge beer can silo in front of it. and we have, I think, 42 beers on tap. 8 are ours, and the rest are craft brew from around the country. We often get Pliny the Elder, or the younger even, and it's gone within probably the 2 hours because the All Points Bulletin goes out, and everybody's there to drink it. So we get lots of tasty treats over there.
So not only is it Oscar Blues Brews, but it's everybody else's brews.
Yeah.
True
we
beer
have
aficionados.
Fish. Yes, we've got all sorts of stuff.
Do you have two brothers?
That I don't know.
Oh.
I do not know. They change out their taps constantly, always rotating. And they put the taps on the ceiling so you can see what comes in and out. So
oh, really?
Next time I'm going to have to look up.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to go over there for lunch,
you
I think.
Should go over there. Yes.
Well, you know what, Tree? It's been an absolute pleasure visiting the brewery and finding out about it. It really has been. on short notice, listeners, I called her 30 minutes ago,
and they have been absolutely wonderful hosts and great people. Visit here, and I love the anti-corporate headquarters, but I do have one last question.
Sure.
Where did you get your name from?
My name is Teresa, but my mom called me that just from, like, as long as I can remember, and I tried to change it in high school because I was mature, and nobody would stop calling me Tree, so it just stays forever.
Well, it's great. So I would say, here's cheers.
Cheers.
To Oscar Blues. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mellow. Knocked out. Feeling good. And by that time, I looked on the wall. At the old clock on the wall. By that time, it was 10:30 then. I looked down the bar at the bartender.
I've been sitting there at the bar enjoying the delicious smoked chicken wings that Luke, the bartender, the head bartender, I should say, had recommended to me. Luke, you worked here for a while?
Since we opened.
Which is when?
It was a year ago, like last week of October.
And I'm looking at the array of beverages. How many beverages do you have on tap?
43 domestic craft microbrews.
How many are Oscar Blues?
Right now, about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11, 12, 13.
All right, 13 brews.
Plus one root beer. All
right. He had recommended to me the smoked chicken wings, and the reason was?
It's just something unique that we do, and that's one of our best sellers on the menu.
You said he'd smoke their own wings, which is difficult to keep them lit, I found.
Yeah, it definitely is. And to fit in those little papers.
What other meats do you do smoke?
The ribs, the pulled pork, we do turkey, salmon, chicken wings, and occasionally a trout from Dale's Pond.
All right. What's your best-selling beer?
Dale's or Mama's.
So, what do you think is the attraction for people coming to Longmont, Colorado to come to Oscar Blues?
Well, first of all, just the experience of Oscar Blues itself. And that we're featuring 43 different microbrews. You know, we're bringing everybody along on the fun ride that we're doing. You know?
And I'm looking at the selection here, and definitely I would say 80% of these are not available east of the Mississippi. So, for those of you who are beer aficionados from the Midwest, come down to Oscar Blues, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
When are your hours?
They vary during the week. We open up at 11 for lunch. Monday through Thursday, the kitchen closes at 10 o'clock at night. Then Friday, Saturday, the kitchen closes at 11, but we offer a happy hour menu until midnight. And then Sunday, we open up at 10 o'clock for Sunday brunch, and then close at Kitchens Under 10.
Do you serve in beer at 10 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
Good man. Luke, thank you very much for the recommendations and the beers. And the coffee porter's delicious.
All right, you're welcome, man.
All right. Nice. Take it easy.
Hello, boys. Usual, is it? Or do you want to drink first?
We just thought we'd plug that one in appropriately afterwards. And indeed, I did have a couple of drinks, as you heard. Wow. Fresh off the line.
You were like everywhere in that place. It's like, hey, let's go here and let's see this. And can I talk to him?
I was lucky enough to sample a lot of their beers. And as you heard, went to their restaurant afterwards. My recommendation to anybody going out to Denver...
Move there. Sorry.
Yeah. Go 30 minutes north. You can't go wrong.
Really?
It's worth the trip. Call them up, have a tour, but at least go to the restaurant. And I have to tell you, we are going to try and put those smoked chicken wings onto the menu here at the pub.
Ooh, you're going to try that, huh?
Oh, man. I have never tasted it. I mean, I go on and on about it. In fact, afterwards, I did go back with my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and my lovely wife, Kim, on the day that we were returning. Mm-hmm. And we had lunch there. And we had two sets of chicken wings. So it was just absolutely superb.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Recommended all the way down the line.
That sounds like you had a great time, though.
Yes, we did. It was fun.
Yeah.
And once again, many, many thanks to Oscar Blues. I do have some of the Dale's Pale Ale, was it beer-infused chipotle hot sauce?
Yeah, it was like Dave's India Pale Ale hot sauce. Was
yep,
that the one?
That was it. Yeah,
with
yep.
Chipotle?
And hang on. I got the... There we go. There's the can I got. Mama's Little Yellow Pills. There it is.
Look at that. And no the lid's
top
open,
on it.
No
yep.
top.
It hasn't had its top sealed, so there we
wow.
go. Absolutely wonderful. And actually, when we do taste the... We've got a couple of beers I brought back from there for tastings on future shows. And obviously, as Mike says, he can't taste it now because he's on meds.
No.
So we'll taste those in the next show, which, as we said, was going to be our Christmas special. So maybe that will be a little Christmas snifter to you.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Which would be wonderful. We've kind of come to the end of the show. This has gone on a bit, actually, I think. We've got a bit of a bumper show here this time
yep.
around.
Yeah, well, because it's been all about you, and it should be. Because you're the man, Phil.
Mike, you wouldn't believe Mike's face. Well, grab your coffee cup, old boy.
Can I go to sleep now?
Yeah, tell everybody. I mean, you might as well say something.
All right. Well, you know what? If you want to email us, go to the website, look up the addresses. And if you don't want to do that, it's USBrit or Lingo at thebritandyankee.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Well, Phil on Twitter. Both of us on Facebook. Sign up for our fan page on Facebook. Spread the word.
The offer still stands. If you call up 708 US Brit 1 and leave us a message, I will find a piece of beer paraphernalia, memorabilia, whatever that I can send you. If you're on the other side of the world, well, I don't know about the postage, but we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
And I guess thank you very much for listening, everybody.
Yes, thank you, everyone. Fun. Thanks, Phil. Thanks, everyone.
And I guess it's just goodbye from me.
Goodbye from you.
Cheers. Oh, the coffee cup doesn't make the sound, does it? Bye-bye. Another show in... what? Are you all right? hang on, I'm doing... Are we alive?
Brit and Yankee! I'll have a pint, Yank. Go, give us a pint. You got any tetanus?
A pint, please, Bob. Give another pint, please, Bob.